Hey there, friend. It's Clarissa, founder of Blossoming Fertility and the host of the Fertility Friends podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I know the path to motherhood isn't always easy, and you don't have to go through it alone. After experiencing my own fertility challenges, I discovered a passion for helping other women because I believe that everyone's fertility journey is unique and beautiful in its own way. As your new fertility friend, I'm here to support you through the tough times, to encourage you to keep going, and to restore your belief in your body's ability to get and stay pregnant. Grab your cup of tea, get cozy, and join me here each week for education, heartfelt conversations that'll warm your soul, and inspiring stories to help you feel seen and understood along the way. Listen in, because this one's for you, my friend. Hey there, friend. You're listening to episode 24 of the Fertility Friend podcast. And today, I'm going to be sharing my birth story with you. Now, if you tuned into the last episode, I shared a special poem that I wrote for my daughter titled Meant to Be. April 23rd, 2022 was when we officially conceived my daughter. So it was really incredible to be able to recite that poem and memorialize that memory through this podcast, and exactly 2 years later to the date. It was also the day that she took her first steps and started walking. I was just so happy, and I can't stop thinking about that moment, just watching her expression as she realized what she's capable of and she learned this new skill. My heart was so full as my husband and I, we both got to share in that special moment yesterday. And it was like we watched our baby girl reach this new milestone and officially become a toddler. I swear, it felt like she grew in that instant. So today is April 24th, 2024. So 4-2-4-2-4. And exactly 2 years ago, I ovulated. And my baby girl took another first step as an egg in my ovary, where she bravely made the journey to travel through my fallopian tubes to get fertilized and nestle herself safely into my womb, which would be her new home for the next 39 weeks. And it's taken me a long time to share this story for a couple of reasons, but in reflecting on the time frame and all of these beautiful little synchronicities, it just feels like the perfect time. And I know in my heart that I was meant to share this story today as episode number 24 on 4-2-4-2-4. Now, the main reason it's taken me so long to share this is because I needed time to process this experience myself. And I'm now coming at this with a new perspective and from a grounded, centered, and even healed place. I also realized that this birth experience is not just my story to tell. My daughter was right there with me every step of the way, through every feeling of fear that I felt, every contraction, every pain that I felt, and even every tear that I shed. So for this reason, I want to choose my words very carefully because I never want her to think or feel that she caused me pain or trauma in any way. That should not be her burden to carry. And if my fertility journey signifies anything, it's how much my daughter was wanted, how much she was loved and cherished. She is no accident, and she was intentionally and consciously conceived. As her mother, I was relentless in my pursuit to get pregnant. I was so eager to meet her. I did everything that I could. I didn't lose hope, and I didn't give up. And this birth story is no different. With that being said, this experience is my truth, and I want to share it from that perspective. I don't regret anything that happened because there were beautiful lessons at every point that I was meant to learn. And by not having this birth go exactly according to plan, that ended up being a gift to me, and I'm really grateful for it overall. So I'm going to start by sharing the events and the timeline leading up to the birth of my daughter, and then we'll get into some of the lessons that I learned along the way. So I want to start by just discussing a little bit more about what I did to prepare for birth ahead of time. So I did take a hypnobirthing class, which, if you're not familiar, entails a few different things, but it's essentially rewiring your subconscious in a way to get you into this state of relaxation, to get you thinking inward and really being in tune with your body and leveraging your contractions or your surges as this opportunity to really just connect with yourself, tune into that pain and really push through it. It was supposed to be more of like a painless way to experience birth in a way. So I was really excited for that. I took the classes. I was going, I think it was every week or maybe every couple of weeks. And it was just really insightful, and I felt really empowered learning this skill. I will say, looking back, I wish I would have practiced a little bit more. I wish I did listen to the hypnosis audios at night and things like that, but I don't know that I was really embodied in that skill, looking back in hindsight, of course. And then I did take a couple of courses. So one was called Pain Free Birth. I believe that's by Karen Welton. And then Mighty Mama. And I forget the lady's name on that, but I'll be sure to link it in the show notes. But both of those courses were also really helpful in just explaining different ways and just different perspectives to experience birth. I think we've all just seen the typical narrative, right, that society has around this screaming woman crying out in pain, being so uncomfortable and just pushing, 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 and the birth experience almost feeling scary and feeling disempowering, really, and almost like she's not safe. So I appreciated all of these courses, these lessons, and everything that I took and did to prepare because it gave me an alternative perspective on what birth could look like and what it could feel like, knowing that it could actually be pain-free, knowing that I could leverage the normal functions of my body and those sensations to really, push my baby naturally. And it felt really good. So I felt really prepared going into it. And then I also thought that she would come late. Everybody says that your first baby typically comes late, that they take longer than normal. And just as a funny side note, I guess my husband and I are typically late to everything. I'm never late to work, but for some reason, for social events and things, we just cannot seem to be on time for anything. So we always joke that, well, we're late to everything. So I'm sure she's our daughter. She's got to be late to her birth, right? Well, that was not the case. She actually came a little bit early. I was expecting to go past 40 weeks, and she came on the exact day that I turned 39 weeks. So, yeah, it was a Sunday night. It was 2 in the morning. I was asleep, like I normally was, and I just woke up to this gushing feeling. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was just like, whoa, what just happened? And I almost thought, did I pee myself? What is going on here? Because when you're pregnant, you always have to wake up and go to the bathroom and go pee. But it was a lot. My legs were soaked. I had a towel underneath, luckily, but the towel was soaked, and I thought, oh my gosh, did my water just break? And I mean, Steve and I are both night owls. Luckily, I was asleep at that point, but he was still awake. And so I just texted him and I was like, babe, I think my water just broke. Of course, he came like running into the room and was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And yeah, sure enough, I think the doula and the midwife have given me some tips just to know if it is my water versus pee and things like that too. So like you had to like smell it and kind of look at the consistency, and it was definitely water. Like it didn't smell like urine at all. So I was like, all right, well, my water broke. So I called my doula first and let her know. And she had me call the midwife as well. So I put the midwife on notice at that point too. And the midwife advised me, both of them really told me, that's okay, you're at the early stages. This just means that things are about to start happening. So go ahead and just relax, get some rest, try to sleep through the rest of the night. And once you start to feel some contractions coming on, give us a call and let us know, and we'll go from there. So, what did I do? They told me to rest, they told me to go to sleep, but I was like, oh my gosh, wait, we are not ready. We are not ready for her to come right now. We still had our Christmas decorations up at this point. And mind you, this is at this point, this would have been January. Was it the ninth? It must have been the ninth. Because she's born on the 10th. Am I getting that wrong? I'm not sure. It must have been January 8th. I don't know. I gotta look at the calendar. But regardless, it was the middle of January. We still had our Christmas lights up. And we had not packed a bag. We were planning to go to my midwife's house. So she runs
a birth clinic outside or inside of her home. So I was planning to have the baby there. And yeah, my water broke. We had no bags packed and our house was a mess. I think we had just done our daughter's laundry, luckily, with a lot of her clothes and things. And luckily, Steve was like, I think we should just wash them and get them ready. So we had that, but that was it. And instead of sleeping, I was scrambling, just trying to get things packed. And I started to feel this stress kind of come on and thinking, like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. I don't feel ready. I thought she would come later. I thought I would have more time. I hadn't taken off work yet. It was a Sunday morning. And so I knew I'd have to go to work the next day, but now I wasn't because I'd be having a baby and I knew I had meetings. So all of these things are going through my head. You can obviously understand the cycle of stress that I felt like I was under. So yeah, I would say the major theme was just not feeling ready and feeling pretty anxious from the start. I did try to sleep for a little bit. So once we got things packed up and Steve was kind of just cleaning up around the house, he had not slept at this point, mind you. And yeah, I tried to sleep for a little bit. I would say I slept for about a couple of hours. I did start to feel contractions. At this point, it was probably 6 or 7 in the morning. And it just felt like cramping. It felt like mild cramping, more like period cramping. So it was definitely tolerable, but it was noticeable. Like I did feel that sensation of that contraction. So once they started to get a little bit closer together, we did head over to the midwife's house. And by this time, I was definitely feeling them more heavily. I remember riding in the car and just kind of wincing in pain a little bit as each contraction came, but also still feeling that level of anxiety and fear and just thinking, like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready for this. So, all in all, the contractions were pretty mild. And I would say about a couple of hours into it, maybe, and I'm sure my timelines here are going to be a little bit fuzzy, but to me, it felt like it had been a couple of hours at that point. This was when the contractions and the pain really started to pick up. And I didn't know this at the time, but what I was experiencing was actually back labor. So the contractions at the beginning, they were, I think, just normal, typical contractions. I felt like I was able to breathe through them. I was able to just kind of feel into that sensation. But when the back labor started, oh my gosh, that was a different level of pain. That was really, really painful. I'd never experienced that kind of pain before. It was like I had this contraction, this cramping in the front of my body, which, okay, fine. I'm kind of used to that with my periods. But then it also simultaneously felt like somebody was forcefully kicking my back. So it was like I got this subtle sensation of pain from the front as somebody's like pushing, kicking, pounding on my back at the same time. So it was not a fun feeling. It was not a great feeling. And that started to just be really unbearable for me, honestly. And I labored for a while. Once that back labor came, though, it was so hard. I remember my midwife coming in to check my dilation a couple of times and just see how far along I was, and I was progressing, and it did feel like as I was dilating further, the contractions and that back labor pain just really started to feel worse. I tried a bunch of different things to labor as well. Like Steve applied some counter pressure. We did a heating pad on my back. I got in the shower and the bath at one point too, and just kind of let that warm water. I wasn't in the bath, I was in the shower. I guess I wasn't supposed to be in the bath because my water broke and there was like a risk of infection, but I was in the shower and that did provide some temporary relief, but ultimately it just hurt. It was really, really painful. And I felt like at that point, once I started to experience this pain, all of the things that I learned, all of the breath work, all of the different hypnosis things that I had learned just went out the window completely, and I really wasn't doing much of it. Now, here's where I'll say that I felt kind of a shift. I felt like Steve was really the only person there for me at the time. And I had a doula, I had a midwife, and then the midwife had a trainee with her too, who was also a doula. And I had people around me, but I didn't feel like they were really providing the level of support that I expected. It was kind of like everybody was just like hanging back to try to see if I needed something. So if I asked for things, they would absolutely do it for me. But there wasn't a lot of maybe initiative on their part to say, hey, try this position, or here, why don't we do this instead? Or here's how I can maybe support you in this way. So it just felt like I didn't really know what to ask because I was not expecting to experience this level of pain, especially in my back. And so I didn't know what to ask for. So I didn't ask for support. And then I didn't really get much support other than Steve. With Steve, I was like, hey, I need you to do this. Hey, I need you to hold me here. And he was like a rock for me. He was definitely just this amazing, sturdy sense of safety. Like he helped me so much. And he was just there at every moment doing whatever I needed, despite his discomfort. I know, thinking back, I'm like, he didn't eat. He ended up not sleeping for like 36 hours or something insane. And but he was there like full force. He was just in it with me, and I am just really grateful for his love, his compassion, his just support throughout all of this. So let's see. I guess for a while I did end up laboring. I found a really comfortable position for me on the bed. I was kind of just on my hands and knees, and kind of like with my face forward on a pillow and like my butt kind of sticking up a little bit. And so that position felt really comfortable for once. And Steve at the same time was applying some counter pressure on my back. And that was the only way that I started to experience relief. And it felt good. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stay in this position. I'm going to keep laboring this way because this is the only way that I can not feel as much pain. But my midwife did recommend to get out of that position. So she had said, okay, well, that's not the way that you're going to be able to give birth. So we're going to need to think about doing something else. And at this point, I believe I was about 8 centimeters dilated. And based on how quickly my contractions were at that point, she recommended that we get the show on the road. So we actually went to the restroom, to the bathroom there that they had, and had me labor on the toilet for a little bit. Now, again, this was the one piece of guidance that I did receive. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to trust it. I'm going to go with what they're telling me to do. And so I did. I labored on the toilet for a while, probably again another few hours. And at this point, it's almost nighttime, right? So we're going from 2 in the morning, got to the midwife's house around 8 or 9 in the morning. And then this was already, it was before sunset. So I would say probably like 3 or 4 that afternoon. But it had been a while ultimately. And, I was trying, I was pushing, I was not comfortable in the toilet. And I think in my mind too, I had this thought in the back of my head, like, I really don't want her to be born here. Like, this is not the place. This is not the spot. The lights were very bright. The toilet itself was uncomfortable. Like, I couldn't provide myself like that level of comfort where I was on the bed with the pillow and stuff just felt really relieving. And on the toilet, it was hard. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be there, but I didn't see anything. I just kind of trusted their guidance and I just kept going with it. But nothing was happening. I was still experiencing back labor. I was still experiencing contractions. And slowly my contractions did start to space themselves out a little bit more, I guess, to where they weren't happening as frequently. And then at that point, she decided to check me again. And I had actually reverse dilated. So instead of being 8 centimeters, I think I was down to 6 at that point. So now knowing what I know, it was like my body knew, and it was like, wait, no, this is not the time to have the baby. This is not the space to have the baby. It sensed my stress. It sensed my inner hesitation, my inner fear, and it literally like pulled back in, right, and closed things back up to stop the process and to halt the process. And so, because of that, I guess lack of progress at that point, they were just kind of thinking like, okay, well, what else are we going to do? What else are we going to do? They recommended that maybe I just needed to get in a different position. So I went and I walked around the house a little bit, went and walked outside a little bit, which was really nice too, just being outside, getting some fresh air. I got to see glimpses of the sunset and I love the sunset. So that felt really just kind of healing for me too. And so we went back inside. They had me do some squatting positions to try and get things moving again, get things going. But I was still experiencing so much pain at this point. Like my back hurt so badly. And Yeah, I guess I just really wasn't progressing and things weren't happening. So at this point, we were approaching the 24-hour mark from the time that my water broke. So we're getting close to the 24 hours. So my water broke at 2 a.m. This must have been, I want to say like 9 p.m., 9 or 10 p.m. And this is when the midwife told me that she recommended that we transfer to the hospital. So there was a nearby hospital. She's a licensed nurse midwife. And so she has privileges at the hospital, meaning that she could go with me and actually deliver my baby there instead of having to go with the doctors there. That was one of the reasons that we ended up choosing this midwife too specifically. But when she told me that, I lost it. I think at that point, I just felt so overcome by emotion. I had been in so much pain. I was really trying. I was trying to do my best. Inside, I was feeling like I wasn't getting the support that I needed outside of Steve. He was, again, amazing, but it just felt like, oh my gosh, like I'm doing everything, like, and I really, really, really did not want to go to the hospital. I don't like hospitals. I feel like they're so sterile. I hate the smell of them. I hate the whole vibe. I hate the environment. Like they seem dirty to me. Just so many things. And no judgment. I know some people feel really safe and secure in a hospital. It's just not for me. It's not what I was wanting. It's not what I was picturing. So I burst into tears. This was the first time where I was just like, I don't want to do this. Like, I can't do this. I don't want to go to the hospital. And I felt like I wasn't really given a choice. And I mean, ultimately, I guess I could have just been like, no, like I'm gonna go home or like leave or something. But I felt like, okay, well, the only way this lady is going to deliver my baby is if I go into a hospital. And obviously, I don't know how to deliver a baby myself. This is my first time. So I did it, and very reluctantly, and I again was just crying the whole time. I was so upset. Steve was trying to soothe me. The other midwife trainee was trying to soothe me too. And I was just like, I don't want to go. Like, I really don't want to go to the hospital. I can do this. Like, I want to have the baby here. But I guess because it was approaching that 24-hour mark, they didn't want there to be any type of infection. Like, the clock was ticking essentially, and we had to get the baby out. So I just felt this pressure that it had to happen now. And I think the sense of safety I was hoping for just really dissipated at this point, to where I was like, I do not feel safe. I don't want this. I'm just so frustrated by all of the whole situation. So yeah, we ended up going to the hospital and checking in. All the while, I'm just having terrible pain, terrible back pain, really painful contractions. We get upstairs into the room, and I meet the nurses there. And I will say that the nurses that I had were incredible. They were amazing. They were so empathetic. They were so kind. They were so caring. I think my midwife may have told them, or like the hospital staff too, at that point, that like I was really nervous about going to the hospital, and I didn't want to, and I didn't want to be there. And they understood that. They were really empathetic, and they walked me through absolutely everything, like fully informed consent. Like, here's what we want to do next. Here's what this is. They explained things to me. They allowed me to ask questions. And I felt like I had the opportunity to really advocate for myself with them, because I let them know, here's some things that I absolutely do not want. Here's some things that I'd be okay with. And so, which I should also mention that my midwife, when we went to the hospital, recommended that I get an epidural, because of the pain and because of how painful it had been, that if they're going to need to administer Pitocin to get the contractions moving again and to get the process started, since my contractions had stopped and slowed at this point. So she said, Pitocin is going to make those contractions more painful. And if you're already experiencing this level of pain that just doesn't feel tolerable, I think an epidural would be best for you. And again, I didn't want any interventions. I didn't want any type of external fluids, medication, anything foreign in my body. Like, I didn't want to take antibiotics. I didn't want to have to do any of that. So I did, but I at least felt like with the nurses, when I was talking with them, they gave me options. They gave me, to explain like why I had to be maybe like hooked up to the monitors and things like that too, which again, I still didn't agree with, but I at least understood it and felt like I got the chance to say my piece. And Just tell them what I didn't want, which the things that I didn't want for sure, was like a C-section. I didn't want to have any type of episiotomy. I did not want to have to push. I would just like, there were so many things that I was like, I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to do this. And I felt like they listened. I felt like they were really, again, empathetic and just really kind. So I was super grateful for them, really appreciative of them. And I felt like they helped me to feel safe in the circumstance that I did not want to be in, essentially. So, after that, before the epidural came, or maybe was it after? There was a point where I got to take a little bit of a nap. I think it ended up only being like 30 or 45 minutes, but it was after the epidural because they, yeah, she administered the epidural and I, like, in order for it to kind of like kick in, I was given like a little bit of a time, a little bit of time. And that was the first time, and at this point had been over at or at 24 hours, that I was not in pain. And that felt like such a huge relief. And I was able to just close my eyes, take a quick little nap, and just really replenish my energy for the next phase of getting the baby out at this point. So, yeah, so I had the epidural. It was a really strange feeling too. The epidural really made my legs feel like huge balloons. I don't know how to describe it, but it was almost like from my waist down, it was just almost like when your feet are asleep and it has that like tingly feeling and you can't really feel your limbs, but you know they're there, and they just felt like huge and swollen. So it was pretty bizarre, but I mean it did work because I didn't feel any of the back pain or any of the contractions even too, because once it was, I guess, time to start getting the show on the road too. They did administer antibiotics, which again, I regretted and I didn't want, but I didn't really have a choice in the matter. And so, yeah, they did antibiotics. They had me hooked up to the monitor to monitor the baby. I had an IV in me. I don't know, so many things in my arms. I'm trying to think of what the other stuff was. It's definitely an IV. One was for the antibiotics. Oh, and then one was, I think, administering the Pitocin. So the Pitocin they used to initiate the contractions, and they were giving me pretty heavy doses of Pitocin to start the contractions, and I could see on the screen that like it would spike and peak, indicating that I was having a contraction, but I did not feel it. I literally did not feel anything from that point forward. So when it came time for me to start pushing, you know, they got me into the position on the bed, which was essentially on my back, but sitting up, which is not how I envisioned it, but these were the options that I was given. So yeah, I was like on my back, feet up, but like the bed was elevated a little bit, so I was sitting up slightly. And I think at one point they gave me like a bar to hold on to, but I literally couldn't feel like from the waist down at all. So that numbing feeling to me, well, let me share this first, I guess. So even though I was having the contractions and everything too, I think one of the concerns that I had was the impact on the baby. That sometimes with Pitocin and things like that too, that the baby's heart rate can fluctuate. But luckily hers was so steady the entire time, like no matter how much I was pushing, what I was doing. I mean, she was stuck in there for hours while I was pushing. I think it ended up being almost 2 hours that I was pushing her out. And her heartbeat was just so stable. Like she never got to the point where they were worried about her or worried about her health or anything like that. Like she was just along for the ride and yeah, just, I don't know, willing and just a happy participant along the way. So I was grateful for that piece. But going back to the epidural piece and just the numbing feeling, it was almost like the pain was numbed out, which again, I was grateful for because it did feel like a relief. Even though it wasn't something that I wanted, I think my body did need that rest. My mind needed that rest, honestly, of just not feeling like I was in pain. And the bad thing, though, is even though I didn't feel that pain, it's almost like it numbed out those feelings too, though. So I didn't get to feel or experience those sensations of feeling her come out, of feeling her, you know, just emerge through the birth canal and emerge out of my body. I was pushing, I was pushing, I was pushing, and it didn't even feel like I was doing anything. So that was a really bizarre thing. And I In hindsight, wish that I could have at least had that sensation, because I felt like that would have been a really beautiful moment, a really beautiful way to connect with her, to connect with the whole experience. And in a way, I almost feel like that was taken away from me, and I wasn't given the opportunity to experience birth fully the way I wanted to. So they encouraged me to push, and part of what I wanted to experience with the hypnobirthing was this level of just this calm breathing and allowing my body do what it's meant to do what it's designed to do. Because I don't know if you know this, but women who are in a coma, like let's say somebody's pregnant, maybe they get into an accident and they end up being in a coma. Well, their bodies will literally give birth without them being conscious, because our bodies have all of those mechanisms to be able to safely push your baby out at the right time, at the right pace. And that's the innate blueprint, I guess, that I really wanted to tap into and experience. But instead, I was told to just push, 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 push as hard as I could. So I was just like holding my breath and pushing, and again, not feeling any of that. So feeling like I was exerting all this effort, but I couldn't feel like I was making any progress really. So it was a bizarre feeling, but all in all, a cool feeling that I did get to feel, I guess, was when she was partially out. I could at least feel her head coming out, and she had a bunch of hairs. So it was a really neat feeling to just to be able to experience that and to feel that. But yeah, it was just pushing, 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 and finally she came out. And I will say, gosh, when she came out, that was just so incredible. Like I cried and just screamed this like relief, this joyful release. And it was just the best feeling, like hearing her cry, being placed on my chest, and she was just so perfect. Like that feeling, it just felt so complete, and I just was so grateful to meet her, to see her, and it was just such a blissful moment. And I loved that. I loved that feeling of just having her there on my chest, holding her for the first time. That was something that was so special that I will never forget. And it made it all worth it, right? In the end. So from that point forward, yeah, we were in the hospital, and she was there. I mean, everything else at that point too, like we waited to clamp the cord. I was able to hold her. I made sure too that they didn't give her a bath immediately. Like I really wanted her to just be really covered in the vernix, 'cause I know that's supposed to be really good for them too. And I just wanted to have that bonding moment, that time with her, allow her to just be on my chest. And she felt at home there. She still feels at home there, right on mama's chest. So it was just a really beautiful moment to experience. Now, I do want to just share the lessons that I learned along the way. And I think I alluded to some of these as I was sharing just some of the events that took place. But I think all in all, the reason that I'm really grateful for this experience and grateful for just the birth that I did have, I mean, obviously, I was healthy, she was healthy, we were both safe. But I also feel like sometimes that's not enough, right? Like that should be the bare minimum standard. Anybody who's giving birth, the baby should be safe. The baby should be healthy. The mom should be healthy. The mom should be safe. I feel like there's such an opportunity to increase our experience and just make these birth experiences so much better for women. I feel like from the atmosphere to the treatment to just how you're held, how you're nurtured, how you're seen, how you're listened to, I just feel like there's such room for opportunity, room for growth in that area, especially in this country, in the US. So yeah, I will say that I'm really grateful for a chance and the chance that I was given to really advocate for myself. Because when I was talking with the nurses and asking them questions and telling them the things that I didn't want to do and the things that I did, and just feeling like I had a voice, feeling like I had a say in some things. There were some things that were just like, sorry, like this is how it is, and I wish we didn't have to, but we'll try to make it as comfortable as possible. We'll try to walk you through everything. So it felt like being able to feel knowledgeable enough to feel empowered about the things that I want and to make informed decisions. I want that for everybody. I did a lot of research ahead of time on birth, and I felt like that knowledge really served me well and served me well in knowing what I wanted, what I didn't want, what was safe for me, what was safe for my baby. And that felt really good. It just felt really, again, empowering to just be that advocate. Now, do I wish that I had had other people as an advocate? Like maybe if I had had doula support who were either on the same page as I was or knew what I wanted. I felt like as the birthing woman who had been in labor, it ended up being 28 hours total. But at that point, it was like 24 hours, I think, by the time I got to the hospital. So I was depleted of energy. Like I shouldn't have had to be the one to advocate for myself, but I did, and I'm glad I did. But I also wish I had had a team who also was able to express some of that for me too. And even with Steve, like I don't know that he would have asked the same questions that I asked and things too. So it would have been nice to have somebody partner with me in that advocacy so that I didn't have to exert so much energy, if that's making sense. So yeah, lesson number one, a chance to advocate for myself. Lesson number two is I felt like it was a really great lesson and a great chance for me to learn how to continue to trust my intuition. There were so many points in this birth where I felt like, okay, I don't want to be in this position. I don't want to give birth in the toilet. I don't want to change the position from being on my hands and my knees. And I did not listen to that voice. I sought that external validation, maybe, and sought that guidance from other people. And that's how I ended up in these positions that I just didn't want to be in. So in hindsight, I really should have leaned in and trusted my intuition, trusted that inner voice that was telling me, hey, this isn't what we want. Hey, this is going on maybe a path that doesn't feel as aligned. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity for me to learn to continue to listen to that voice inside me, because this is the same voice that told me to get off birth control early. This is the same voice that told me to, connect with my baby and to heal further on my fertility journey. So it hasn't led me astray so far, and I need to continue trusting it. I guess also this is a chance for me to leverage my voice and express my needs. So I see this as different than advocating for myself. The advocating for myself was more of me just owning my power, being certain what I wanted and what I didn't want, versus voicing my needs. I felt like there were times where I was really uncomfortable, and instead of asking people, hey, can you give me this pillow, or hey, can you give me a sip of water, I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm in this alone. And I just kind of suffered in silence through a lot of it, with the exception of Steve, because I did ask him for certain things too. But I was just not really sure what to ask for. And I felt, I don't know, I just felt like a burden asking for the things that I needed, which should not be the case. And I don't want any other woman to feel like that, but that's honestly how I felt. And so I think this was a great opportunity for me to continue to voice my needs in my life and practice that skill. And I think I am getting better about that in terms of just setting boundaries and being clear on what I want and what I don't want. And if I have a need, sharing it. There's no shame in it. You're absolutely worth that opinion. And so, yeah, I think that was another lesson that I learned. Another one too is just to really understand that my body knows best, right? So it was really incredible to witness the fact that when I started to feel unsafe and when I started to feel that anxiety and that anxiousness, my body went into full-on mama bear protection mode and literally prevented me from moving forward in my birth. Like, how incredible is that? That our body senses that sense of danger and shuts off the birth process. And so, when that happened, that should have been such a sign to me that, like, hey, something's off here. How can I regain that sense of safety? How can I regain that sense of bliss and just pleasure and tap into that sense of peace and comfort? And maybe at that point too, like again, trusting my intuition, voicing some of my needs, and trusting that my body knows what it's doing. And I think Obviously, all of this is in hindsight, and I don't know how it's going to play out for future births or how it would have played out if we had gone another direction. But I just felt this sense of certainty that like my baby was okay. That whole time, I wasn't hooked up to monitors, I wasn't hooked up to anything. I just felt it in my soul that like my baby was okay and she was fine in there. And I think if we had waited another 4 hours, if I had maybe gone into the position that I wanted to go into, if I had maybe felt this sense of support and nurturing from the people around me, that I would have progressed and she would have come out easily. Now, I think the back labor piece was really challenging, but in hindsight too, I wish I would have known ways to just even change her position that maybe the doula could have helped me with to alleviate some of that back pain. But yeah, I think all in all, trusting in my body, trusting that my body is doing the right thing to be able to keep me safe, to keep my baby safe. And yeah, trusting it moving forward. Now, the next lesson that I learned is that numbing the pain is not always the answer. So in this case, yes, I did feel that sense of relief, but by numbing that pain, I really missed out on a joyful, blissful experience of feeling those sensations of her coming out of my body. And I think, too, in so many ways, whether it's on our fertility journey or anytime we're facing really difficult emotions, we tend to want to numb the pain instead of leaning into it and feeling into it. And that prevents us from experiencing joy in our life. It prevents us from experiencing positive sensations too. And so going forward, I really want to learn how to lean into that pain, learn how to be with those feelings, and really kind of just sit within them so that I can move through them. And I think that also goes into this next lesson too, which is trusting that you're on the right path. And this was the hard part for me too, because when things started to take a turn in a direction that I didn't want to go in terms of getting transferred to the hospital, I could have just trusted that like things were unfolding for me instead of happening to me, but I very much felt like a victim and I was really upset. But I think my resistance to the whole situation almost made it worse for me, as opposed to just again leaning in, surrendering, trusting. And maybe if I had done more of that throughout the experience, it could have been different too. So, same thing with our fertility journey, trusting that you are on the right path, trusting your intuition, trusting that the decisions that you make, the events in your life are leading you to where you're meant to be and leading you to the lessons that you're meant to learn. So, all in all, the last lesson that I learned is that I can do hard things, which is really crazy to think about, but I mean, birth is intense and birth, it is hard, right? It's physically taxing. It's like equivalent to, I forget how many marathons, but it's physically intense and it is hard. It is challenging. Even if your body knows exactly what to do, it's not a normal physiological response, right? An everyday response like your heart beating or things like that. This is difficult. It requires a lot of moving parts and a lot of just mind body soul really cooperation. But I learned that I can do hard things. I can survive. I was in so much pain, more pain than I've ever experienced in my life, and I got through it. And I came out on the other end a survivor. I came out, with a healthy baby, and I realized too, it gave me a lot of confidence that I maybe am capable of much more than I realized, and I can maybe tap into more of that potential in my everyday life. So, yeah, these were the lessons that I learned. So, just to recap really quick, there's seven total. Giving birth gave me a chance to advocate for myself. It gave me a chance to trust my intuition, a chance to voice my needs and express my concerns, a chance to know that my body knows best, a remembrance that numbing the pain is not the answer, trusting that I'm on the right path, and a reminder that I can do hard things. Now, I truly believe that when you give birth for the first time, you're not only birthing your child, but you're giving birth to a new version of yourself. And the next version of you, this new woman that you're becoming as you transition into motherhood, There's actually a word for this too, this transition, and it's called matrescence. I don't know if you've heard that term, but matrescence is essentially the process of becoming a mother, and it's physical, psychological, and emotional changes that actually happen to you as you go through that birth. So this transition, I know it's not really widely recognized in today's society, but I do believe that it should be something that's honored and something that's celebrated. This time in our life really does mark this shift in our identity, this shift in who we are as a woman as we step into motherhood. So, going forward, I plan to, and I also encourage you to, not only celebrate your child's birthday, which I celebrated Kerrigan's 1 year this year, and it was just really great to be able to just cherish that moment. But I also feel like you should celebrate your birthday, that day that you gave birth to your child. And just let it be a reminder every year to come back home to yourself, to be grateful for yourself, to love yourself, to give yourself grace, but also to be proud of all that you are and all that you're becoming. So I think that's it for now. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up, but I just want to thank you for being here and thank you for allowing me to share my story with you. And just know too that if you're still on your fertility journey and you have not experienced birth yet, I am trusting that your time is right around the corner, and I am wishing you a peaceful pregnancy and a blissful birth. Take care, my friend. All right, friend, that's it for today. It was great catching up with you, though, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Can I just say, I really appreciate you being here, and it means so much that you took time out of your day to listen in. So what'd you think of the episode? Let me know if you enjoyed it by leaving a rating and review. It'll just take a second, and this simple act of generosity helps more women discover the podcast so they can feel supported on their fertility journey as well. Thank you for being so kind and paying it forward. Oh yeah, and by the way, if you're looking to connect with other women who are trying to get pregnant, then I've got just the place for you. Consider this your personal invitation to join the Fertility Friends community. It's a safe and supportive space to connect that's off of social media, and it's totally free. Head on over to blossomingfertility.com/friends to join. I can't wait to welcome you inside. Take care, my friend.